I would start out with the Lord is risen, but we've done that a couple times already. So I was thinking about in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we have a scene around the throne, and there's four living creatures that are there, and you know what they do? You know what their job is? How many even know what those four living creatures do? A few of you. It says there that those four living creatures, day and night, continually repeat this phrase. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Let's say that together this morning several times over. I'll cue us. And let's say it as resurrection experience, okay? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. I don't know about you. I have to laugh at myself a little bit when I think about it. Sometimes I get a little bit bugged if a song gets repeated too often. But I had to think about this. What would you think? What would you think if we would spend this whole service this morning simply saying that over and over and over? Would you feel like we've wasted our time? Or would you feel like you've been in heaven? That's what's going on there. Those four creatures, that's their job. And they're declaring reality, they're declaring power, they're declaring who God is and what He is and what He deserves. And you go on then in those verses and it says, you are where the 24 elders fell down before the throne and they said, you are worthy of all glory and honor and power. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. I'll start out by telling you this. A friend gave us a cruise. We had never been on a cruise and had no real desire to go. A friend gave us one, so this February we went on one, Sail and Sing, for 8 days. And there was something that fascinated me. That ship had about 5,000 people on board. And so somebody asked if it supplies its own power. And the Ryan Baumgartner, the puppet guy, he's in charge of it. He says, no, we drag a cord along behind, and on the way back, we reel it up. But you start to look around, and you realize, man, this takes a lot of power. All kinds of lights, all kinds of air conditioning, all kinds of water being pumped, kitchens, it just boggles your mind. So I did a little research, and I found out that ship has four engines on, totaling 100,000 horsepower. They're all run generators, Paul. Those motors are huge. The pistons in them are 3 feet in diameter. The crankshaft weighs 22 tons. And I found out afterwards that there's crews that go around to docks, and they can take a crank out of one of those motors and put a new one in 12 hours. But the power thing is what fascinated me. I don't know if you've this is something that's just struck me lately. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. What kind of power did it take for resurrection to happen? What kind of power did it take? You know, I've experienced some very, very powerful lightning and thunder. I mean, thunder to where it just went right through you. And you knew that there was extreme power in that lightning and thunder. What kind of power does it take to produce resurrection? That we want to just think about some of that this morning. So, yeah. Is it important that God visit us? And how important is it? Does it make any difference in our world if God visits or if he doesn't? What is the power of the resurrection? Now, when I ask that question, I want us to think about this. And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but when Leon read this morning, if you noticed in Matthew's story, it sounds like Mary and Martha, or the two Marys, came to the tomb. And as they came to the tomb, this earthquake happened, and the stone rolled back, and the angel met them and said, "He's risen." Was that earthquake part of the release of the power that was happening in that resurrection? Here's a question I came across. My Bible reading plan has study questions every day. And they had this question in there. And I thought it was a fascinating question. Is there something I value more than resurrection in my life? If I start laying things out here and I start giving them values, where does resurrection come in? Oh, today it's really important, right? Because today's Easter. What about tomorrow? What about a month from now? How valued is the resurrection in my life? On a daily basis, because we're going to see as we look at this, that it's the basis for all of Christian experience. Would Jesus be able to perform mighty works in my life, in our church today? If he was here, and we'll look at that some more too, but just a question that I think is worth asking ourselves. And then the last question I want us to think about here in the beginning is, does my life give credence to the resurrection? You know, we look around, and I was really surprised. I just saw just this week that a recent poll showed that 70% of Americans still believe that there was a literal resurrection. I was pretty shocked. I didn't realize it would be that high. So there's a lot of people that give lip service to the resurrection. They show up in church on Easter Sunday. But the question is, does my life give credence to that reality? I want to just preface by pointing this out to us. The Pharisees made, and the Sadducees especially here, made a big, big, big mistake. Jesus told them, he said, you err. You make a huge mistake by not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Now, they claimed to know the scriptures, but he showed them that they didn't. But he said, you make a big mistake because you don't know the power of God. And Mark repeats the same thing. And he adds this. I thought this is interesting. He said, actually, this God that I'm referring to, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus said, they're still alive. He's the God of the living. I think that's a fascinating statement. It has to do with power, and we want to look at that. Kind of where I started from with this is Paul's prayer over in Ephesians. Paul prays for us as believers after he talks about all that God has given us. And he prays that God would help us to understand the hope of our calling, the riches of our inheritance, and the power that we have in Jesus Christ through the resurrection. And this is what he says about the resurrection. I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which he performed in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. There it gives us the answer of what is the power of the resurrection. God was the power of the resurrection. That was the source. Jesus was the one that experienced it. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, there's actually two types of power. So when we talk about power, we can talk about authority or right. A policeman can walk in here this morning because of the badge that he has authority. Now, there may be someone in here bigger and stronger than him that can take him out. That's a different kind of power. He has the authority based on his jurisdiction. If it's a sheriff, he has the authority of St. Joseph County. If it's a state police, he has the authority of the state of Michigan. As children of God, we have authority, we have power, right, that we have as children of God. That's not what we're talking about this morning. That's important, it's valuable, but that's not where we're going. So that's the Strong's definition and wording there. The second one is ability or strength. That's what we're talking about this morning. And so Paul is talking about this whole thing. And you notice there the Greek word is dunamis, which is pretty apparent. We get our word dynamite from. So we're talking about power that is excessive. Carl, what's the biggest thing of Tannerite you ever blew up? Oh. What would happen if you take a 55-gallon barrel? Be pretty explosive, wouldn't it? Pretty major power. We're talking about power in that sense. power that has the ability to disrupt, power that has the ability to change, power that has the ability to make things happen. And so Paul is telling us all about this. We have the words mighty works happening over and over in Jesus' life. When he cast out devils, when he healed the sick, when he did all kinds of things like that. And I noticed in our song we sang last there, Victory in Jesus, it talked about that in the second verse. The power that came through the cleansing flood. Power to change. Power to make things happen. So that's what Paul is talking to us about. Now, I want us to notice something here, and that is this. Jesus lived in resurrection power before he was resurrected. He wasn't just cruising along here, and then all of a sudden he died and was resurrected, and all of a sudden he had all this power. No, all kinds of things there in Matthew 9. The devil was cast out, the dumb spake, the multitude said, "Whoa, we never saw it like this in Israel before." What were they talking about? They were talking about the power that was being displayed. They'd seen all kinds of things. They'd had all kinds of experiences. But here is something going on that they have never seen in their lives. We've never seen it like this. And the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they hadn't seen it either. They were all amazed. They talked to each other saying, "Whoa, what's this?" With authority, there you go, that's the one word, power, that we looked at first. With authority and power. He commandeth unclean spirits, and they come out. Now, what kind of power does that take? You have that power? If an unclean spirit manifested itself here this morning, would you have the power to stand up and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave? You must go in Jesus' name"? Is that kind of power in your life? That's what Jesus was living in before the resurrection. Then in Luke chapter 7, John was in prison. He was about to be killed. And he was discouraged. He had come to make the way for Christ. And here he was, and all of a sudden, these doubts are coming into his mind. He's like, "Is this really the Messiah? What's going on here? What's happening?" And so John called two of his disciples. He said, "Hey, you go to Jesus and you ask him, are you the one that should come, or are we supposed to look for somebody else?" And so the men came and they said, "John sent us to you, and he wants to know, are you the one that's coming, or are we looking for somebody else?" And Jesus says, He doesn't say anything right away. In that same hour, right now, he cured many infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answered and said, "Go your way and tell John what you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached." What's Jesus telling those men to tell John? What's he telling them? There's power here. There's something going on that doesn't happen normally. It's not an everyday experience. It's not something that our church leaders are able to do. It's not something that even prophets and those that are raised up from God have been able to do. All of a sudden, there's something going on here. There is a power at work that is beyond all human power. I remember E.V. Hill preaching his wife's funeral. And he said he talked to the doctor about his wife when she was sick. And the doctor said, "We're all practicing physicians. We don't have the power. We do not have power to heal. That power comes from somewhere else. That power was manifested in Jesus' life as he walked this earth before the resurrection." So there's something I want us to pay attention to here. The power of the resurrection did not all of a sudden appear at resurrection. The power of resurrection was already present in Jesus Christ. He said, Danny read this the other night, "I'm not here for you to take my life." The Jews didn't kill him. The Romans didn't kill him. Or I should say they didn't take his life. He laid down his life. And he took his life again. That's a power that is beyond this world. There is no one, absolutely no one, outside of Christ that has that power to lay down life and take it up again, who was and is to come. The power of resurrection. We see this happening in all the mighty works. Jesus was there. He was performing there in Matthew and Mark. He's performing all these mighty works. And almost always when you see that term mighty works or miracles, it's almost always the same word that we're looking at as power. It was being displayed. It was being manifest. It was being declared. Jesus Christ came with power. He lived in power. The power of the endless life. That's the power he lived in. And it's interesting because there in his hometown, Nazareth, he couldn't do many mighty works. He couldn't display much power. His power was limited. It was blocked. It was stopped by their unbelief. I think that happens today as well. Now, I want us to think about this story. This, I find this fascinating. Here's a woman. She's had this blood flow for 12 years. Now, if you know anything about the law at all, you know that made her unclean. Anything she touched was ceremonially unclean. Anybody that touched her or touched something that she touched was unclean as well. They could not go in to offer sacrifice until the time was passed and they were clean again. This woman had spent all of her living, everything she had spent on doctors, and she only got worse. 12 years. You want to really get eye-opening on this story? Watch it on The Chosen. Just wow. for this woman to touch anyone in a crowd would defile them. For her to touch Jesus would defile him. It was the law. But this woman had heard about the mighty works. She had heard about this man that had power to heal, power to touch lives. And so this woman draws up all her courage. And she says, if I could just somehow get there and just touch just the hem of his garment, I can be whole. And so she makes her way up through the back of the crowd and touches Jesus' garment and draws back. And immediately it says, Jesus knew that virtue, and that word virtue there is the same word we're looking at, power. He knew that power had gone out of him. And so it was like all of a sudden that woman got hooked up to three-phase. Boom! She was touched and she was healed. Just like that. By the power that was there in Jesus Christ. Jesus realized, he felt this, he knew that something had flowed. Some power had gone out of him. By that touch of faith, she had received the power of an endless life to give her life. For 12 years, she was dying. Continually dying. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why the Israelites were commanded they could not eat blood. Because life is in the blood. And her blood was flowing out. Her life was going away. And it was getting worse. And it was getting worse. And it was getting worse. But in that moment, she connected with the power. And that power totally changed her life. From unclean to clean. From dying to living. From hopeless to hope. That power was there to heal and to bring life. That power is always there to bring life. We need to remember that. That power comes on us by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, when he appeared to them, he said, you wait here. This is of utmost importance. You stay here until you're filled with power. That same power that I have is coming to you. And you wait for it because you're not going to be able to do what you need to do until you receive that power. It's no difference for us. We memorize this verse. We talk about it. But we go out and try to do so many things in our own strength. I'm guilty. This is not about something that I've got mastered and I'm sharing with you. It's about something I'm learning. Something I'm praying. Recognizing, God, I don't have the power I need. I don't have the strength that I need. Isaiah talks about to the faint, he gives power. But you know what? We're like the people in his hometown. I can do it. We don't need you. I can do it on my own. I've got enough strength. And that, remember, Jesus told one of the churches in Revelation, you have a little bit of strength. You have a little bit of power, but you need a whole lot more. You need to be filled with power. And I hope that you recognize your own need in that area, whatever that need is. That resurrection came on the disciples there in Acts chapter 3. Peter saw it and he said to the people, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look at us like we did this by our own power or our own holiness? No, we did this by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers that glorified Jesus Christ, who you killed. You got a murderer instead of him. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. And we're witnesses of that. So you see that as they were filled with power, they began to speak based on the resurrection. That was their basis. That was what they worked off of. That was what they continually referred to. And almost every time you see them performing some kind of a miracle, you see them referring back. That's where they got their power. From the God of resurrection. The God of power. Acts chapter 4. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know what I think? I think that still works today. I think if we start standing on the resurrection, giving witness to the resurrection, I think we'll see things happen that we never imagined. When we're sitting here trying to convince others that our way is right, whatever else we might be trying to base things on, we're headed down the wrong way on a one-way street. The power is in Christ and His resurrection. There is no other place to find power of that kind, of that magnitude, and it will do what that power does. So you go on and you see this happening in people's lives. So in the Apostle Paul's life, God gave him special power so that people could send him a handkerchief and he would pray over it and they'd be healed. Special power. What kind of power is that? Oh, what kind of power is that? You know, we think we've really done something when we can order something on the internet. But I tell you what, you can't pray for a cloth over the internet and when it comes, you're going to be healed. It's only by the power of God. Only by that resurrection power, that life-giving power. Through mighty, and this is Paul talking about himself and the other disciples, through mighty signs and wonders, there in Romans 15, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all around I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That power is what sent Paul out. That power gave him the ability to withstand stonings and shipwrecks and beatings and all kinds of things and continue on going until he could say, I preached the gospel through that whole area. By the power of Christ. By the power of Christ. Mighty signs and wonders were done. God actually tells us that he gives to the church, to people in the church, to believers, gifts of power, of miracles, That working of miracles is the same word, power. And then Paul had prayed earlier there in Ephesians chapter 3 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And Paul tells Timothy, look, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That word fear there means timidity or cowardice. God didn't send us out into this world as his children to be timid and fearful cowards. He sent us out with power. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power. That same power that we were talking about with Jesus Christ. To do mighty works, to do miracles, to heal, to cast out devils, to do all of those things. Power, love, sound mind. God gave that to us. Now, there's a question. Am I living in that power or not? See, Paul talks about this to Timothy. He said, there's a lot of people around that have this form of godliness. They think that by a formula, they are godly. But he says that's not the case. And he tells them another place, he says, I don't care what you have to say. I want to see what's going on. I want to see if power is happening in your life. I'm not here to listen to all the good stuff you have to say and have all the answers that you might have. And he says, you know what? There's a lot of people that have this formula that they live by and consider themselves godly. But he says they deny the power. They deny the mighty works. They deny the miracles. They deny the ability of what God wants to say to us, what he wants to do through us, what he wants to do in us. He says, stay away from those kind of people. Just kind of stay away. Because they're not going to take you where you want to go. They're not going to take you into a life filled with the Spirit of God, with the presence of God, with the work of God. The last thing I want us to look at here today is this. You know what kind of power it took to save you? You ever thought about that? The power to take a poor, wretched, vile, lost sinner and change them into a child of God, a child of blessing, a child called, received, accepted, adopted, blessed, part of the family. Do you know what kind of power that takes? It takes the power of God. That's the only power that can do that. And you know what? It takes that same kind of power to keep us. Peter says this, we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. If somebody tells you that, yeah, you're saved by grace, but you have got to keep yourself saved, sorry, you don't have the power. You don't have it. You didn't have the power to save yourself. You don't have the power to keep yourself. All of that kind of power comes from the power source, the only place where that kind of power exists. You can't plug into a wall socket somewhere and get that kind of power. You can't take a big enough motor and produce that kind of power. You cannot find that kind of power except in resurrection power, the power of an endless life. That's the only place you can find that kind of power. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to hear from God about your own life. And just be honest with Him. We all need more of that power, for sure. But are you living in that power at all? Or is your life all on your own? You see, everywhere Jesus went, things happened. Lives got touched. Everywhere He went. Why? Because that power flowed through Him. And that's what He wants to happen in our lives. His power flowing through us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's powerful. That's the power of God. I'm going to give us just a moment before the Lord in quiet. I just reminded this morning as I was thinking, I don't know how many years ago, right here in this same place, the same type of morning, Easter morning, John Freeman came over here to the altar. And he said, God, I need your power. And God began to work in his heart and his life. And He wants to do the same for each of us today. Dismiss us now, Lord, with your power and your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.